Greetings once more from the hills of La Jolla. On the small screen of the human mind, we see a world of forms, all separated, some moving, some still. And we see creatures of various species who have lifespans, each with a beginning and with an end. At times, we're given inner glimpses, momentary flashes of other levels, other realms, until one day, the screen expands, and before our startled eyes appears a great discovery that our busy little world is only a pale, momentary fragment, a tiny imitation of a much larger world. It's as if suddenly the frosting is removed from the glass, and there shining bright and clear before us is a brand new world whose presence we had only vaguely suspected, but never really had seen. Now here it stands before us. We can touch it, we can see it, we can feel it. It's there. It is no longer invisible. And also, in that moment, something happens to you. One moment you're a person. You're declaring that you're the life of God, the Spirit of God, while you're still trying to grope your way through the invisible veils. But this very next moment, you're no longer a person. You're a living soul. The entire thrust of your life suddenly shifts from person to soul, from mind and body to soul, from lifespan to soul span, from fragment to a new kind of wholeness, from a point of view to a panorama so vast that you know it is endless. Then something clicks into place, and it tells you that from now on, the small human screen is on the way out. You're going to live on a larger screen, in a different sense of self, and in some undefinable way, you know, never again can you accept yourself as a creature of flesh living between the cradle and the grave. Now, what has happened when you feel this new thrust of life? It is the illusion of me that is breaking. The shift is sudden and dramatic. The divine plan unfolds to you as an inner vision. Maybe not even a word is spoken, but you become aware that your entire human experience is nothing more than an effect, or as Shakespeare phrased it, a stage. The real action is in your soul as it opens up to the wholeness, the fullness, the infinity of your invisible being. Now you feel an infinite intelligence revealing to you that what you had previously called the warfare between the flesh and the spirit is actually the warfare between the world mind and your soul. That's where the action is taking place. It isn't down here in this form. This is just the echo of that greater conflict. The soul and the world mind in conflict. And the result of that conflict appears on this earth as your form. You learn that the real activity is called the initiation of your soul as it is challenged by the world mind, and that this is the divine plan. The world mind must challenge your soul. And it does it with the illusions of time and space and matter, which appear visibly as your human life experience. Now, when you have transferred your belief that the action down here is what's taking place to the inner knowledge that your soul is going through the infinite being, initiated into the fullness of being, that it may open to spirit and to the infinite, then you transfer your way of life from this form, from this mind, to your soul, and let your soul live itself, knowing that whenever your soul meets the challenge of the world mind, that which happens on this earth will show forth the divine image and likeness. The whole arena of your life occurs on a different level instead of in this point, in this spot. So you see why Jesus could say, I of mine own self can do nothing. Like you, the human Jesus is only a tiny replica of the vast interaction between the soul and the world mind, between the soul stream and the world mind stream. And it becomes clearer and clearer every day that what you have called your human self would hear is nothing, only the degree to which your soul has overcome or succumbed to the temptations of the world mind. And that is the divine plan to open your soul to the fullness of its being. From this, you are guided to shift your consciousness away from your human self to your soul. That's the detachment talked about in the various metaphysical teachings. But now you know why that detachment is necessary. You can see the greater plan which makes detachment a normal, wise thing for you to do. You are making a preparation to leave this fourth world of mind, which we call Earth, and to enter the fifth world of soul. And when you feel this inner impulse changing your point of focus from mind and body to the vastness of soul, you may be sure that your real spiritual transformation is underway. We break through into this realm of soul where grace is the law, but only by faithfully practicing specific principles taught not by human authorities, but by the Christ within. Until you are strong enough in your understanding to know, and this is very important, to know that total surrender to your soul is the secret of grace. Total surrender to your soul is the secret of grace. Now, the way Shoah gave us this great secret, when he revealed that the Father within doeth the works, and this is the same secret revealed by Moses in the Old Testament when he gave us the rod of power. The Father within. Now let's define that so you know who the Father within is. The Father within is infinity. The rod of power is infinity. When the Father within doeth the works, when the rod of power doeth the works, infinity is doing the works. And when you learn how to let infinity do the work for you, your struggles are over. Grace means infinity does the work for you. And if you do not find the way to let this happen, you must continue to struggle and against impossible odds. Human action cannot do what soul action can accomplish. And if you wish to delay the permanent experience of life without end in a state of grace, you will continue in your human sense action. If you wish to find the truth of being, in which your entire life is lived for you by the invisible Christ, you must surrender human action. Now, the secret of letting infinity work for you is demonstrated to us in the fourth chapter of Exodus. I want you to look at that chapter with me now. The verses I have here are 1 to 5. Chapter 4 in Exodus. Here's how it reads. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Oh, yes. Let's look over here to verse 17, same chapter. "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." What is the meaning of "thou shalt take this rod in thine hand"? And I want you to know that it means this: the acceptance that you are the Spirit of God is one half of taking the rod in your hands. And there is another half, and that half is the acceptance that you are not spirit and something else. When you accept and learn to live in the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, without any additional self, you have taken the rod in thine hands. And then, with that knowledge, that practice, that fidelity, that self-assurance that I am only the Spirit of God, thou shalt do signs. Now then, the rod of power revealed to Moses is that when you live in full soul consciousness, you are free, independent of the world, free of the serpent of mind and matter, free of material laws, material evils, free of cosmic hypnosis. For then you live in a divine state of grace and truth enters your soul, objectifying itself into your visible world, dissolving sense illusions, and the serpents disappear. When this happens, when your soul is a transparency for the infinite light, you are standing in the invisible universe. You are linked to the infinite by your soul, and automatically this releases divine action into your complete experience. God unfolds as your substance perfectly. You are released from mortal imitations, the finite limitations of the mind, from the false limits of the mental universe, from temporary lifespans. You are even released from the power of death, beyond all the physical powers of this sense mind world. And outside, beyond this mental universe, you discover what the Bible has called the land overflowing with milk and honey. And now spiritual forms appear. They replace material forms. Actually, heaven opens. Instead of letting the serpent expel you from the Garden of Eden, you turn around and you take the serpent by the tail. You see through the illusions. This is the rod of power that transforms the world for you. Now we see a very strange thing here in the Bible. Moses, the great prophet, the spiritual leader of the Hebrews, the writer, or perhaps the editor of the first five books of the Bible, is running away from a snake. But seconds later, something happens inside him. A voice tells him what to do. He obeys immediately. And just as instantly, the snake is transformed into a rod. Now, what causes this sudden transformation? Why does this happen? And what is the message that it contains for us? First, let's apply several of the principles that we practiced during the last 2 months. Only God is now. Only Spirit is here. I am not man or woman. I'm not Moses. I'm not Fred. I'm not Harry. I am Spirit, the Son of God. My Father, Spirit, is running a perfect universe. And so we rest in the confident knowledge that God is present. We rest knowing that only the kingdom of God is here. We rest knowing there are no snakes, no problems, no disasters in the kingdom of God right here. The time pictures dissolve. The frost is removed from the glass of human vision. And through the clear glass of soul, we know that only Spirit is here, and Spirit contains no snake. So who is this snake crawling on the ground? We see first that it represents the entire human race. The serpent here is the entire human race and its false belief that the incarnation in human flesh that dies is your real self. That false belief that incarnation is real, there's your serpent. The soul knows better. To the soul, the snake crawling out there is not out there at all. Where is it? It's in the mind of man. That snake is in the mind of Moses. And it symbolizes the entire world. The serpent world, which we believe is out there, but which exists only in the world mind and in our individual mind. Now let's face this. Matter is made of the fabric of mind. That is the supreme illusion which keeps us crawling like serpents on the earth. Every object we see, every object, is our own mind made visible. The things we see out there in separate forms, separated from us, moving in all directions, these are the tail end of a long line of appearances at higher levels. And so what we do here doesn't change the higher levels. All our actions here are just as much illusion as the objects that we think are out there. Whatever we think or do or say humanly is of no consequence. Because of our own selves, we can actually do nothing except get out of the way. We only seem to move around like the serpent. But wait a minute, Moses, says the soul. I'm going to reveal to you the secret of secrets. I, the soul of you, I am directing this entire action. I, the soul of you, say, put forth thine hand and take that snake by the tail. The voice within saying these words and the outer action of Moses stretching forth his hand are one and the same. The voice doeth the works and appears as the motion of the hand. Soul is directing the invisible spiritual form, and outwardly it appears as Moses reaching out his hand. Now this is spiritual action, dominated by soul as contrasted to mental action, dominated by mind, even though both actions look the same to the human eye. And so Moses lifts the snake, which a moment ago he had feared. Soul is revealing that the snake is made of mental fabric. And now as the hand of Moses touches the snake, they are no longer separate. They are one. And that one is pure spirit. The transformation of that snake to a rod indicates that Moses, through soul awareness, has accepted that his only identity is pure spirit. That's why it happened there. So we here could make the same choice. When you make the choice that you're not man of flesh, not woman of flesh, but spirit. When you stop concentrating on the life of the flesh and accept the living presence of soul, you are lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and then I within lifts you into the one consciousness. Out of the mental world of separate forms out there. Your uplifted consciousness of the mental world of separate forms is all dissolved through this upliftment. This new consciousness externalizes first as invisible spiritual forms and then as visible forms expressing the harmony of spirit, the peace, the truth. All illusions are released by soul consciousness. God put no discords on earth. So when you see a serpent, which is a symbol of every human problem, you are seeing something God didn't put here. You are accepting an external world of matter, which is not here. But who is accepting it? The material sense of you. The material you sees a material something outside of you. And that is because all matter moves in the false life stream. The problem that you are seeing only exists in the mind of the beholder. So whether you call it serpent or disease or lack, or limitation or sickness, person, thing, condition, every form that you see is your own human mind objectified. Never are you looking at a form or condition. You are always looking at your own human mind. This is what Moses had to learn. And this is what Moses had to teach us. The real serpent is your human mind, which perceives its own material concepts and thinks that they are out there. It fools you as it has fooled Adam, as it fooled Eve, as it is fooling the human race. It is part of the great illusion composed of three things: the world mind, the individual mind, and the object conceived by that individual mind. Our entire visible world is the false universe of the world mind, which produces these illusions of evil and of good. And this world mind is the serpent that must be taken by the tail and lifted up. Your function, my function, is to walk in grace, right here in the kingdom of God. And we can only do that in soul consciousness. Serpents occur only in our mind consciousness. And these serpents or problems are part of the daily initiation of our soul. We must go through this in this appearing world, knowing that our soul is going through the initiation in the world mind. It is meeting every temptation of that world mind as it passes through the infinite. And we must learn to walk through these obstacles, not fighting them, not overcoming them, but shifting to the soul consciousness alone, which is the magic rod of power. Now let's take a look at some of our own serpents. You are overworked. You are exhausted. You're always wondering how you can catch up with your busy schedule. And there's another one somewhere suffering from domestic relationships. Arguments in the home, suspicions, resentments. The feeling of this situation is hopeless. And a third one has been sick for more than 15 years with a variety of ailments. And still a fourth one has another set of serpents. But now let's apply the principle. Without exception, the serpents that each of you have accepted in your life as real living problems are not out there. They are not external. They may seem solid, like an oak tree, but they exist only in your mind. And they are made completely of the substance of your mind. And they exist only because you are in mind, not in soul. That is the great truth, which releases us from the need to solve our problems the human way. Not only problems, not only broken bones and weary hearts, but the entire material world, all of it. Moons, stars, planets and galaxies, atoms and molecules, mountains and rivers, the complete spinning globe exists only within your mind, his mind, her mind, the world mind. And if you are fleeing from these serpents like Moses, or trying to reason your way through them, trying to philosophize about them, trying to protect yourself against them, resisting them, counterattacking them, trying to overcome them in any way, then you can join hands with Adam and Eve and the rest of the human race, because you're making the same mistake. The serpent on the ground is the human mind turned earthward. In this false mental stream, we are spiritually blind. We have accepted a me, born into matter, as myself. We're confined to the parenthesis, the lifespan, to material limitations, unable to manifest or even to speak the divine word. And so we live in a deep sleep of the mind. We fight false adversaries. 5,000 years ago, we were given the symbol of this crawling serpent to tell us that the human race is imprisoned in false bodies of flesh, controlled, moved by desires we do not understand, forced to place our hopes and our faith for a better life in tomorrows that must eventually end. as all flesh does. But let us not forget, a new vision dawned on this earth when Christ gave his disciples the power to trample upon all the servants of this world. They didn't trample with their feet. As a matter of fact, he told them, take off your shoes. The trampling is not going to be physical. There was a new way, a new dispensation. Even Moses, he didn't trample on snakes. He reached out his hand. In other words, his spiritual understanding of his own being enabled him to transform the false picture of snake without a struggle. Remember Jesus Christ? Did he reach out and touch the leper? Or did he fight the germs? It was spiritual understanding again, which said, stretch forth thine arm and touch this leper, which he did, just as Moses reached forth and took the snake by the tail. Now, the nature of that understanding is radically different than the understanding of science or the understanding of religion. It was really an understanding that now enables us to lift the serpent in the wilderness. They had surrendered their human belief in the existence of material form. Both Moses and Jesus knew there was no Moses and Jesus. Both knew there was no snake and no leper. They had surrendered their belief in material form. They rejected their own human judgments of the sense mind, which showed material form. Moses looked at the serpent and said, God, you are omnipresent. You are here. You are there. You are omnipresent spirit. Where can a snake be? Jesus looked at the leper and said, God, you are everywhere, even where the leper appears. And where you are, perfection must be. Now, how can a leper be there? And then Moses reached forth and touched the snake. And then Jesus reached forth and touched the leper. In other words, Saul was saying, see, your real adversary is not the serpent or the leper. Your adversary is the mind that conceives the serpent and the leper. The mind that believes there are real problems, real material forms out there. And that mind is the only problem. Omnipresence of spirit means that matter is nowhere. That where you are, there is no matter. No evil, no error, no problem, no material condition. Only spiritual power maintaining a perfect spiritual universe. And therefore, why strive to overcome the problem? Instead, surrender your belief. You surrender your mind, which contains the problem. And the evil serpent is transformed into a rod of love. The leper is cleansed. There you have the amazing secret of transforming your material universe into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Surrender your material belief. I know we are overstressing this problem, it would seem to you. But remember, it is because this is one of the most difficult principles to learn. This principle is a total contradiction of everything that your senses are telling you. But if you do not attain the instant ability to overrule your senses, they're going to continue leading you into duality or separation from God power. And so we must repeat, you can never overcome any problem at any time. The problem is never there. The real problem is always that you believe in God, but you do not believe in the omnipresence of God. You have not understood omnipresence. You have not accepted omnipresence in its full meaning. Let's say it this way. You have not reached forth your hand as a token of that acceptance. And as a result, You continue to live in the unconscious mind stream of this world, thinking of problems, but separated from the vital truth that every problem you have is visible evidence of your unbelief in the all presence of spirit without material opposite. When you know that only spirit can be present, no matter what your senses see or feel, then you are accepting spiritual omnipresence. And this truth, in consciousness, objectifies as your life experience. That is the end of your problem. Let's just close our eyes a moment. Hold it for peace. Now I want you to see why you have been unable to accept omnipresence in its full meaning. The secret is this. Until you accept the all presence of spirit where you are standing, you cannot go all the way. Now this is crucial. Just pause a moment and reflect that in spite of your many years of study and dedication, every morning you are still getting up as a physical human being. And through the day you're living as a physical being. At night you go to bed as a physical being. And all the while you're telling yourself, I am spirit, I am spirit. Now that's not going to work. It has never worked for centuries. Thousands of sincere seekers of truth have used physical mouths to declare their spiritual identity. You and I must go beyond that. You cannot be spirit and matter. And you cannot be spirit tomorrow. You must be all spirit today. All spirit without opposite. I know the mind plays tricks. It persuades you that you're too busy to attend to it today. Tomorrow you're going to have more time. Tomorrow when you get out from under, you'll get down to cases. Tomorrow you're going to know more truth. Tomorrow things will be better. But let's not be fooled. The whole world has been fooled by these tricks of the mind. The entire religious world has been deceived. Tomorrow, it tells us, Jesus Christ will return to earth. Tomorrow, we will walk in the land of milk and honey. Tomorrow, the gates will open. Tomorrow, the battle of Armageddon will be fought. All evil will be driven from the earth by hosts of angels. You know it's not so. If Moses had waited for tomorrow, his people would have remained slaves. And so would he. Spirit is now. Spirit acts now. And that's why the Lord says unto Moses, now, right now, this instant, put forth thine hand and take the serpent by the tail. And he did. He accepted spiritual identity. But he did one thing more. He surrendered human identity. And that's the meaning of putting forth the hand. It's a total action. The acceptance of one is a surrender of the other. And it is signified by a specific act of commitment. You've been saying, I'm spirit. But you have not surrendered, I am a physical mortal. It's like, well, you might say you're trying to be awake and asleep at the same time. So you see how subtly we think we're accepting omnipresence, while at the same time we're really rejecting it. Now let's get another deeper meaning of the serpent used in the Bible at this point. Here it stands for the dual nature of man. First, your human self, blind to spiritual selfhood. Second, the awakening or rebirth to your true spiritual self. Behind the false appearance of serpent is this invisible divine self, God invisible. The serpent has never really been there. Only spiritual selfhood is there, appearing falsely on the time, space, screen of matter as a serpent. But only spirit God is where you in your mortal flesh appear on this screen of time and space. So like it or not, your human self, sense of self, is biblically portrayed as a serpent crawling in the dust. And you, like Moses, are told to reject that false appearance totally, to awaken to the truth that the serpent of flesh is not there, not here, not anywhere. That right where you stand is holy ground because your one and only identity is timeless spirit, Son of God, here and now. All we have to do is look around us, and we can see the great tragedy of human beings who have claimed the fatherhood of God, but only with their lips. While at the very moment that they claim fatherhood with God, their thoughts, their beliefs, their actions deny that very Father. God is all spirit. And if spirit is your Father today, you are spirit today. If you are not spirit today, you are denying the fatherhood of God. And you are shutting yourself out from the only thing that really matters, living today in the spiritual universe, the kingdom of God. This is the great contradiction. The church has misunderstood completely the meaning of the fatherhood of God. This truth has been denied to millions, even billions. Believers who wish to worship at the shrine of God, but do not know that the only real shrine is their own spiritual identity. Stretch forth thine arm. This is the invitation to change your mortal garments for the inner vestment of spirit. This is the call to life, and it is heard only by those whose pure hearts cherish truth above all. This is the holy call of the Father to the Son. And it says, this day be ye perfect as your Father. Be ye perfect as Spirit. And how shall we reply? Shall we say, Father, I'm too busy today. I have a heavy schedule today. But tomorrow when my schedule is light, I'll be your Son? Or do we say, Father, I don't feel I have the capability of being your Son today. I'm going to study some more, learn more quotations, and then when I feel stronger, why, I'll try to be your Son. Do we tell the Father that we have more important things to do than to accept Him as our Father? Or do we bless this day and say, thank you for this glorious invitation to immortality now. Father, I will not become spirit tomorrow. I am your spirit today. I am all spirit, all son, all divine substance, all soul. I am perfect now, as my Father. For to be less would be to deny that omnipresent Spirit is all there is. And so I do not acknowledge this only with my lips, but with my full being. My spiritual thoughts, my spiritual beliefs, my spiritual deeds, my spiritual purity, and even more. Father, I surrender me. I surrender the mind of me, the body of me, the will of me. I surrender all that me ever was. And my act of commitment is to go within now, to surrender my mortal consciousness and totally to trust my perfect immortal soul. Let's try that. Let us seal our turning from material consciousness, that we may receive the divine blessing, the anointing. We close our eyes. We enter that high dome of our being. Again, we rest there. Here there is no world mind. Here, no adversary. Here, senses cannot deceive. Deeper into the core of our own being, beyond the world of forms, conditions, images, we receive inner refreshment. And now the miracle, the release. How does it come? When you surrender to the love of God. All around you is divine love. You feel it like sunshine. Your being is bathed in divine love, shining right through to your very heart. Around you is grace like invisible air. An invisible spiritual universe of unceasing grace, the power of grace maintaining perfectly the infinite spiritual reality, the primal essence of life itself, all here, all yours, in the invisible temple not made with human hands. This is your real being. Your inner baptism, which you must learn to receive every day. Here within you accept the truth that frees you. You learn here that God is right on earth now, alive. As, and get this, God is on earth alive now as the spiritual identity of you and the spiritual identity of every form that you will ever see. The kingdom of God within you is your spiritual identity, but it must be realized, accepted, and lived in. You must choose a new universe, a new identity, a new life, a new substance, a new law. You must know God aright, for this is life eternal. We have imperceptibly moved out of the mental universe into consciousness. You are consciousness. You are the light that previously had shined only in the darkness. You are no longer body. You are no longer mind. You are no longer confined to a spot, a place, a space, a point in time. You are unconfined, unblemished, free. And you can feel the presence of your own divine self, a rhythm, a joy that cannot be spoken, and a feeling of inner cleansing, of perfection, of purification. Slowly we become aware that we have actually been liberated from physical form. We have found a new kind of form without physical substance. And this form is governed by a completely new kind of law, a law that is flawless, a law that is functioning forever. We have changed from the lower life stream to the higher, from matter to spirit, from mind to soul. By surrendering material consciousness, we have reached forth and we have taken the serpent by the tail. Our new rod of power is that we are now linked with the infinite invisible. You are living consciousness, the Son of God, pure spirit. And into this living consciousness flows divine grace. Every perfect quality of God now flows to reveal the ultimate mystery of life. When you are consciousness, not form, all the barriers are broken. The wilderness days are over. Heaven opens, and you know why Jesus could say, "The Father within doeth the works." The Father within is infinity. As soul consciousness, you are the Blessed Son, perfect as your Father, and infinity does all the work for you. What you, with your human mind and human power, tried unsuccessfully to do, with years of toil, infinity now performs effortlessly and perfectly. Infinity becomes your rod of power to transform the serpents of your world. Now, when you have felt yourself to be consciousness, not physical form, you are out of the limitations of time and space. Then you can really understand and believe that death is a mirage. You see, death breaks the mental consciousness of an individual. And that's how everyone in the world dies. But death cannot break the spiritual consciousness of an individual. And if you learn now, each day, to increase your capacity to live as spiritual consciousness, soon you will realize that your spiritual consciousness can never be broken by what the world calls death. Abide in that for a moment. As consciousness, living spirit. Let's take a short rest period now. There's much more to say. want it said without a break in the thoughts that are to follow. So let us prepare now in our rest period for another journey into self. I'll see you in a few moments.